What is force? What is manipulation? So I am not going to go into that. Force is when you are made obedient with or without your willingness. Otherwise, you will be tormented and persecuted. So we saw that believers are called to overcome the force and threats of the enemy. And we should not be afraid of the threats and persecution or whatever, so that we can overcome the force. When the enemy is not able to force you into something, he uses manipulation. What is manipulation? We ended at manipulation last Sunday. Manipulation is destroying the convictions you carry and twisting and adding and subtracting the information you have or know from God. The devil is working against Christians. If today you read the Bible and today God spoke to you and you said, Lord, I receive your promise. I know it is you who spoke to me. And this promise, I will hold on to it and I will wait for it. Tomorrow, the enemy is standing to destroy the conviction of the promise you received, to manipulate the information you have about God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The Spirit of God and a walk with the Holy Spirit and a strong devotion life towards Jesus Christ will help you to retain the convictions you carry. Are we understanding? We are seeing in our age and in our time many preachers falling away. You know what? One of the main reasons is because their convictions are destroyed by the manipulation of the enemy. They start to say things, oh, what I preached 5 years ago was not true. What I preached 2 years ago was not true. Because the enemy is destroying conviction, or sometimes at the first place, they did not even speak from God. They did not even spoke from God. So since the information was not thorough and based upon encounters and based upon strong convictions, the enemy was able to manipulate them. That is manipulation. If the enemy is not able to force you into slavery, what to enslave you, the devil will carry out manipulation. And manipulation is keeping on attacking the convictions, the information that you carry about from the Word of God, the information you carry from God. Hallelujah. And we saw last Sunday that manipulation can be overcome by seeking the Lord with humility in the secret place by building intimacy. Hallelujah. A strong relationship with the Lord in the secret place will help you every day to retain your convictions, will help you every day to be assured of the promises. It has happened with me many times. Since we live in the flesh, our convictions are attacked many times. So many times because the atmosphere around is so dry. So many times because things are not happening. Things are not happening at all. What starts to happen is the information that I receive from God, the promise that I receive from God, our mind starts to doubt the promise because of the pressure of the environment, because of the type of situation we are placed in. For many days, we are placed in that situation. Let's take, for example, Joseph. Joseph, from the beginning, you have to realize he could interpret the visions, the dreams that he received. So when he saw the sheaves of the brother bowing down to his sheep, when he saw the sun, moon, and the stars bowing down to him, he knew that the family will submit to him. But what happened after receiving the promise? He was put into situations, and those situations and those circumstances fought against the information he received from God for his life. Hallelujah. And the devil is trying to manipulate you from yours and tell you, what God told you is never going to come to pass, because God told you something and as you see, you are going on another way. Like Joseph was going to the pit, then he went to slavery, and then he went into prison, and his life was taking a complete turn from what he saw from God. So life was fighting him. His situations were fighting him. His circumstances were fighting him. The people who were coming around were fighting his convictions. But Joseph believed. He never said, why God? Hallelujah. He kept the faith. He kept the faith in God's word. And he overcame manipulation. Are we understanding? Manipulation is destroying the convictions you carry and twisting and adding and subtracting the information you have about God, you have received from God. The Bible says in the book of Hosea that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. We got to build capacity in our spirit man to retain the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. How much of the word of God do you remember? How much of the word of God do you meditate on? Do you retain the information from God in your spirit man? Let me tell you one thing. You cannot retain the information of the spirit in the carnal mind. You have to retain the information of the word that is of the spirit of God. It's spiritual information. Hallelujah. In your spirit man. Hallelujah. There are many people who have read the Bible, but who have never came into submission to the plan of God for their lives, because they retain their information in the flesh to puff them up. But we got to retain the information in the spirit. How many times it has happened that you saw a dream from God, and when you woke up, you never understood. You never remembered that dream. Because you don't understand that you are trying to exercise the power of your mind to remember. But what you have to do is pray in tongues so many times to retain the information that I had in a dream that I could not remember. I started to involve my spirit, the Holy Spirit in me, to pray. And when I started to pray in the spirit, the information came back. And then when these things started to happen with me, I understood one thing, that the information about God can only be retained in the spirit man. And when we retain information in the spirit man, it dwells in there. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding that? I was praying in tongues, and after praying in tongues for a long time, I started to read my Bible. When I read my Bible, whatever I was reading, like, I did not have to memorize. It was stored in my spirit. I knew the verses by heart. Because we need to understand that a carnal person cannot retain God's information. It says, I have hidden those things from the wise and the prudent and revealed it to babes. Hallelujah. For it was given to them, for they were submitted to the plan of God, to the will of God. And when you retain God's information in your spirit man, no devil in the world can manipulate you. That is, destroy the information you have. Hallelujah. It all started from the book of Genesis. We saw that the serpent came and did what? Did God really tell you? It was manipulating the information Eve already had. That is called manipulation. That is the definition of manipulation. All right. Then we saw in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 18, how the servants of Sennacherib came and manipulated the people of Judah, to go against Hezekiah. Why? Hezekiah was asking them to trust in the Lord. So they said, don't let Hezekiah fool you by saying trust in the Lord. And all sorts of things, the information that they got from their pastor. You know, King Hezekiah was their pastor. He was a good king. He used to lead people to trust the Lord. So he was a good pastor over the people of Judah. He would always tell people to pray to the Lord, trust the Lord, including himself. He will also pray to the Lord. And that was also given to them at that time, the prophet Isaiah, who would bring the word of the Lord. But the enemy manipulated them and tried their best. So that is manipulation. So that is the second phase. If the enemy was able to manipulate, and you started to believe, no, I think I need to listen to this voice and take a different pathway. I think I need to listen to this voice and quit this and take up this job. I heard the testimony of a certain pastor. The pastor said, he is not a pastor. He is just a normal civilian, normal man now. Because that man said, I was a pastor and I enrolled myself into something. You know, those churches where you become pastor and you get a monthly salary and all sorts of things, you get some perks. So he said, I wanted to live a big life. So when I became a pastor, a servant of God, I was not able to live that big life that I wanted to live. So because I wanted to live that big life, I resigned from my past. When I was a pastor, I took a room and put that into Airbnb. Then I brought some income and put another room into Airbnb. So he started Airbnb business. And when he saw, he says, when he saw that his Airbnb business started to increase, he left his position as a pastor, resigned from it. And he said, now I got the life I wanted. Don't look at the option to serve God as a career option to build up your own dreams and to get into your own ambitions. That is not. If you start to serve God, first of all, God will destroy your selfish ambition. You will be left in a place that all that you desired, all that you wanted, now God is telling you, you will not go on that path. I will show you a new path. I will show you a new direction. I will show you something new. Hallelujah. So that guy, who he was not even a pastor at the first place because he did not understood what is service unto the Lord. And so he took up that business. And now he says, I wanted to travel the world. I wanted to do this, do that, buy this, buy that. And now since I got what I wanted, now they think God gave them. You know what? Who gave him to that? The devil gave him that to control his mind. Now we are coming on mind control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what is mind control. Can everyone say mind control? Can everyone say
mind control?
When the devil forced you, gave you threats, you did not obey him. Okay. He left you. He tried manipulation. He attacked your conviction. You were strong in the Lord. He said, okay. The third thing, to enslave you, to make you a slave, he will come with mind control. What is mind control? Okay, people of God, the definitions I am giving you, it is received by the Holy Spirit. So this is what the Holy Spirit gave me about mind control. Mind control is a programming system in the mind. Mind control is a programming system in the mind built by masters to facilitate a sense of convenience, comfort, and security. Let me come again. Mind control is a programming system in the mind built by masters to facilitate a sense of convenience, comfort, and security. To stay enslaved. Yes, to stay enslaved. So while that spirit or while that master, maybe a human being, is tying your hands with chain, tying your legs with chain, putting a yoke on your shoulder, all that process will be done by a sense of assuring you that it will be well. It will be well with you. You will get what you want. It will be convenient for you. It will be better than what God has for you. And while he is putting chains on your hands, on your legs, yoke on your neck, that enslavement process, it will give you a sense of convenience, comfort, security. Aha. Hallelujah. That is mind control. Very subtle. Very subtle. That man who left the job of a pastor, God originally called him, but his desires took over what God wanted from him. So he was ready to take up a plan which was not of God, to take up a pathway which was not of God, but where the mind control was used by the enemy. You will get what you want from here, but at the cost of getting out of the presence of God, at the cost of you getting out of the will of God. I tell you, numerous Christians have left the will of God long time back. Numerous Christians have left the will of God long time back, only because of mind control. Numerous Christians are coming to church, but they have backslidden. They have already backslided and gone back a long way from God. But we see them in the church. You know why? Because of mind control. Mind control is a very powerful tool and very powerful revelation to understand how the devil enslaves people. Because the devil is ready to build up a programming system which will give you a sense of security, convenience, comfort, to stay in the chains, to stay as a slave. He will give you a little pat on your back always and keep you there. He will give you little appreciations there and keep you in the prison. Hallelujah. And keep you there. Keep you there. When I used to work in cooperatives, I never continued at one place. When the Lord will tell me, it's time for you, I want to give you a hike. This company is not giving you a hike in your salary. So I will search for a job. And I am telling you, by the grace of God, the increase that I used to get was not 10%, 20%. It used to go up to 5 times of the salary I would receive when I would hear the voice of the Lord. 500% hike, 400% hike when I hear the voice of the Lord. But when I try to leave the current company, the managers will bring me and give me a pat on my back. Why are you leaving? You are the most handsome and good looking. You are the most wonderful person. You are the most talented guy in this. Why are you leaving? Till this time, for 2 years, I never got any appreciation. But now, when I have the time to leave, when I'm going to leave my organization, they will bring me and give me some pat on my back. Hallelujah. Have you seen dogs and puppies? When you go and give them pat on their back, they get so, because. And why are you giving them? To keep them enslaved, to keep them at the door of your house so that they will be the security to you. And that is how the devil gives a pat on the back of Christians. Mind control. Oh God, stay with me. It's not just like that Israel always spoke about Egypt. It's not just like that. That Israel always spoke about Egypt, how we enjoyed in Egypt, how we ate the meat, how we did this, how we did that, because they had a mind control on them, even after they came out of Egypt. Do you know, if you read your Bible, the book of Isaiah, you read the prophecies, Judah and Israel, even after destroying Egypt, after many years, they were still the kings of Israel, the kings that came out in Judah. They were still tending to depend on Egypt, because the mind control system never left them. The slavery never left them. The mentality to be a slave never left them. Never left them. Hallelujah. And when you become a slave to the enemy, you will never discover the potential you have in the kingdom of God. The potential you have, the calling that God has for you, when you are a slave to someone. I'm telling you, you can be a slave to an organization working for them. You can be a slave to some of your family members. You can be a slave even to a so-called pastor, who will never let you recognize your potential. How? By keeping you. You know what? I will make you the assistant pastor. I will give you this salary. I will do this for you, that for you. So that you get a sense of security to stay under taskmasters, to stay under those who will never let you discover what God has for you. Mind control. Hallelujah. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 13. Let's go to Exodus chapter number 13, verse number 17. Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. Why? The reason is, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Now God knows you, beloved. Like God knew what mindset that the people of Israel carried. God knew that they were controlled in their mind. God knew that they were, though they were free physically, but spiritually they were still slaves. And that's why God did not take them through the faster route. Because what is the Bible saying? The Bible says that God says, if I took them through the way of the Philistines, they would see what? They would see war and they will return back to Egypt. That means they were not yet prepared to face war. When you are under mind control, you cannot face a war. Anything that you face, this is one of the symptoms of mind control. Listen to me. Anything that comes to you when you are moving ahead in life, you will say, oh, no. Things were better there in my past. I cannot face this. And you certainly return back. That is a slavery mindset that does not let you move ahead in the walk with God. It says that although that was near, God said, perhaps the people will change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. When they see war, when they see, they will see fighting, when they have to put their effort, when they have to put something that they were not putting in the last season of their life. When they had to labor a little bit, when they had to think by their own minds, when they have to execute a new strategy, which they were not executing, nothing new was there in Egypt. Here they have to think differently to fight with the Philistines. They will say, oh, we don't want to do anything, all these things. Let us return back. And so God took them through the way of the wilderness. Listen to me. Many Christians are wandering in their life, are having delays in their life, not because the devil is against you, but because you have a slavery mindset. That's why God does not lead you into victory. God is not allowing you to cross border, because to cross that border, I am telling you, to cross seasons in your life, you know, listen to me, for Israel to cross from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that was the boundary of Jordan, to get into the promised land. For Israel to cross from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, I don't have the time to show you scripture. That season was the season where Israel had to depend on God and had to face and go through many challenges. Had to go through many, like Balaam who came against them, like the river of Jordan that came. And so many challenges came for Israel. So Israel had to face that and go through it. But people of God are today not ready to face challenges and depend on God and trust God that God will take you through fire. God will take you through waters. God will take you through calamity. God will take you on the other side. People are not ready to believe. So they don't want to go on the other side. They stick here on this side. Why? Because they think things are convenient here. You know, I have a church, I have an organization, I am a pastor that continues to give me salary. I don't want to go and take the risk of what God is calling me to do and all those stuff. You know, I want a comfort and convenient life. I want a guaranteed income. I wanted a guaranteed salary that I want. I want a comfortable life. I want a good house. I want a good bed. I want AC. So I am comfortable here. I don't want to cross over. That is slavery mentality. Though you are comfortable, though you create a testimony out of your life, but the reality is you are still a slave. You have not taken the risk to walk with God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Do we have only two hallelujah? Come on, say amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Wow.
to walk with God, you have to take risk. You have to say, God, wherever you take me, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm ready to take the risk. I'm ready to take the risk. Hallelujah. But if you say, no, I am not ready to do anything. I am good here at this place. You are a slave to Egypt. Let me tell you. Because when you start to walk with God, you have to progress. That is the pattern in which our fathers walked. I'm not talking about your biological father. I am talking about the fathers in the Abraham walked in a way that was uncertain, but he trusted God. He was ready to walk with God. But the people of Israel were not ready, because anything happens, things were better in Egypt. Oh, this we have to do. We are not getting water here. We had water in Egypt. Brothers, can't you pray and you will see the hand of God providing you water here? Oh, we don't have meat here. We had meat in Egypt. Oh, we only have manna here. We had manna. Oh God, you want to go back again and again. You are still a slave. And God knew their mindset. And God made them wander in the wilderness. Not because God liked to make people of God wander, but God allowed them to wander in the wilderness so that he can work on their mindset and show them. And God showed them again and again what Egypt was providing you is nothing in comparison what I am going to give you. But you don't understand that. Hallelujah. I want to make some statements. A person who is under mind control always thinks, listen to me and write it down. Person who is in mind control always thinks that what the devil offers is better than what God offers them. The person who is in mind control always thinks that what the devil offers is better than what God offers to them. Okay? Second thing I want to tell you, because of the mindset, they test God rather than submitting to his word in humility by surrender. Because of the slavery mindset, these kind of people, what do they do? They test God. Do we understand that? You might say, Israel received, they asked for water, they received water. Oh, God gave them blessing. God did not give them blessing. God showed that he is God to them because they tested God. They did not receive water from God by praying to God, God, we need, you have brought us on this journey. May you provide for us. It was not like that. They rebelled against God. God, what is testing God? Testing God is challenging God. Do we understand that? Mm-hmm. Go in some churches nowadays. What they are doing is not prayer. What they are doing is testing God. Yes. They are testing God. They are challenging God. You cannot challenge God. When you challenge God and when you receive something, he gave you that to prove that he is God over you and he is more powerful to you and he is powerful than the devil. But the thing that he gave you will not satisfy you because you tested God and received it. Do we understand anything here? Hallelujah. Third thing I want to tell you. We are being exposed. Listen to me. We are being exposed to mind control. We are being exposed to mind control spells every day of our life. It comes through different channels. It comes through different mediums. We are being exposed to mind control every day of our life. The devil will make you feel convenient, beloved. The devil wants to give you the desires of your heart. But God wants to give you the desires of your heart that is as per the will of God. Hallelujah. If I have a son and my son is 12 years old and my son wants to drive my car, he's 12 years old. If I am like my father, the heavenly father, I will not let him get what he desires because he does not have a license. He is not of age enough to drive that car. So I will not give him that because it's not time for him. But if the devil is his father, the devil will give him to drive that car. Give to him his carnal desires. Today, many Christians who testify that God did this for me, God gave me that job, that money, and all those stuff, the devil is giving them and exercising mind control over their life to keep them enslaved. I have seen numerous testimonies in churches where people said, I got the job, I got this, but it has been 15 years now. They have never grown an inch with the Lord in the Spirit. The job kept them in slavery. The money they wanted, they got the money, but they are still in slavery. The beautiful girl they wanted to marry, he got that girl and he married with that girl, but they are still in slavery. They have never discovered what God has for them because they have tested God. Are we understanding? Mind control, you have to understand that. You have to understand the programming system that is installed by masters to facilitate a sense of convenience, comfort, and security for you to stay in enslavement. The devil knows if he will not comfort your flesh and if he will not give pats on your back, you will never, if he is successful to make your flesh get attached, get in love with something, and you always want it, you will stay enslaved to it. You will stay enslaved to it. Hallelujah. That is how churches enslave people. Instead of giving them the word of God, instead of giving them the gospel, what they give is a substandard, inspirational preaching and teaching. Oh, you can come, you can do whatever you want. That word, you can do whatever you want, is not from the Bible. It's from the devil's Bible. One of the law of the devil's Bible is do whatever you want to do, whatever your heart wants to do. That is from the devil's Bible. So by giving them that sugar, giving them that sweet, giving them the sense of satisfaction to their itchy ears, those things, those churches are enslaving them rather than leading them to eternal life. Enslavement by mind control. This is very subtle. And many Christians are victim of it. Numbers chapter number 14, verse number 20 to 23. Numbers chapter number 14, verse number 20 to 23. I'm showing you scriptures for the statements I made. Numbers chapter number 14. Verse number 20 to 23. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice. How many times the Bible says Israel tested God until Numbers 14? They tested God how many times? 10 times. They did not receive from God by prayer because they tested God. They challenged God. They received what they wanted, but because they tested God. Now, what is actually testing God? Testing God is a rebellious attitude to challenge the power of God. Testing God is telling God, I have a better plan already, but if you can show me that your plan is better than what I have, you have to show forth, you have to give me that. That is what is testing God, to challenge him. Are we understanding? Christians, you need to ask yourself questions. Are you really praying to God in submission, or in your life, are you challenging God? Are you testing God? Are you comparing what you already have to what God can give you? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Are you comparing what you already have made up to what God can, with what God can give you. God, if you give me this, if you do that for me, then I will obey your voice. There are conditions. Like what Jacob was doing at Bethel, he was testing. He was testing. He said, Lord, if you bring me back here and if you give me bread and water, then you will be my God. Then, no. Prayer is not based on condition. The conditions that were supposed to save us and make us walk in the ways of God has been already fulfilled by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Jesus died for you, beloved. He gave his body, his blood was shed. Water came out of him because there was no blood. He suffered the wrath of hell on the cross. What more can God do for you, tell me, to prove his love? He has already shown and proved his love for you by dying for you on the cross. What God can do more to prove you? No, if you are God, you need to give me that car. If you are God truly, and oh Lord, if you want me to serve you, we need to give me that. You are testing God. You are testing God. You are not praying to God. That is testing God. 10 times, I don't have time to show you 1, 2, 3, how many times and in what ways they tested God. Even in those 10 times, there is a revelation hidden. But I will not do it tonight because we don't have time for that. But one of the things in which they tested God is in Numbers chapter number 11. Is in Numbers chapter number 11, verse number 1 onwards. Let's read Numbers chapter number 11. Verse number 1 onwards. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. Okay. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? Intense craving. Have you heard something that is becoming famous nowadays called nostalgia? Have you heard something called nostalgia? Oh, I am feeling nostalgic. Oh, I am. That is, nostalgia is not godly. Let me tell you. Oh, nostalgia. As per statistics, I think in 2024, in Hollywood and in Bollywood, what they are doing is they are recreating the old movies that people love to watch. Recreating it. Why? Because when people will watch it, they will feel nostalgic. What is nostalgia basically? Nostalgia is when you compare your past to your present and consider that the past is better than your present and feel that, oh, if I go and live in the past and again enjoy the same benefits. That is nostalgia. So, hallelujah. Do we understand that? You know, we say, When I was small, I used to have the summer vacation. I used to eat and go to my grandparents' house. That life was better. I hope I go back into that life. That is nostalgia. Where you compare your present to your past and realize that your past was better and crave to get what you used to get in the past. I came on nostalgia because I wanted to tell you that the people of Israel were feeling nostalgic. They yielded to intense craving. Why? Because he said, who will give us meat to eat? Verse number 5 says, we remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic, but now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Hallelujah. That's why you cannot walk with God if you have not crucified your old man. You cannot walk with God if you have not crucified your old man. I myself have a past life. I encountered Jesus at the age of 19. But before the age of 19, I myself have a past life. And whenever the devil reminds me of my past life, oh, you see how you enjoyed with, now I am alone. I am just with the Lord, mostly reading my Bible, praying with people. That's it. No going, no friends, no social life whatsoever that the world considers as happiness. And many times the devil can tells me, oh, you see your past life. And you know what I tell the devil? I hate my past life. I hate what I received from you in my past life. I hate. Are you ready? Are you, when you feel nostalgic, are you ready to tell the devil, you are showing me all those things, but I hate those things. I love what God is doing for me now. Hallelujah. This is what my spirit wants. Hallelujah. Manna, you are eating manna. Look, you had fish in Egypt. Freely, Pharaoh used to throw the fish and you used to catch the fishes like dogs and cats. Free fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks. This manner, the people of Israel could not say no to the devil. The people of Israel could not say no to mind control, could not reject. We hate the things of Egypt, even though it was pleasing to our flesh. Now we love this manner. Okay, so that is nostalgia. That is what it is saying. And many Christians feel nostalgic. Once you feel nostalgic, that is the way the devil will pull you back in the past sins. Do you know the friends I used to sit with, you know, in my at the time before my encounter with Christ, before 19 years of age, the friends and all those things are not at all in my contact list. Not at all in my contact list. I have not seen them for 11 years and I don't want to see them. I don't want to meet up with them. I don't want to do a reunion party and all those nonsense. And in the reunion party you go, oh, that is my crush. I had a crush on her at the age of 17. You are getting into mind control slowly, slowly. I never visit my school friends, my college friends. That is going back. That is not moving forward. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? Oh, no. From 11 years, we have not seen. Let us meet together there and let us talk and all those things. No. I am not a part of the social gatherings. Never. I will say some things which will even, you know, my immediate family, my parents and my sister, we came in Christ and we are serving Christ. But other relatives, since we came from Hindu background, they are there, other relatives. And when they have a marriage, when they have this, the Lord does not even allows me to go there. We are completely disconnected from them. Who are my mother? Who are my brother? Those who do the will of God and obey. They are my mothers. Jesus said, I am living among them. I am related to them. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. One of the things the devil will use is to pull you to past. Is to pull you to the past people. Is to make you come in parties and all those things past. And then make you feel, the past is better than the present. Can I go there? And that is how he will execute mind control, by making you feel the pleasure that the past gave you. The pleasure that the onions, the garlics, whatever, the fishes of Egypt gave you. And you will say, God's plan in which I'm currently living is not better than the things that I had in the past. And then he executes mind control, and slowly he is pulling you into past, meaning he is pulling you to slavery. He's pulling you back to enslavement. Do we understand that? Pulling you back to enslavement. Now the thing is, by now Israel yielded to intense craving, and it was very difficult for them to hear the voice of the Lord and obey the voice of God, because things did not start to happen here. The devil, through the time of that journey, was already occupying their mind. And though they were, you know, those people who get good things, but yet always say, oh, I don't want these things. My old things were good, you know, like that is how, let me come back to what I said. Every day you and me are exposed to mind control. How? Through media, through news, through movies, through songs, through voices that are there in the electronic atmosphere, in the electronic waves around us. We are exposed to mind control every day. Every day. It is tried and tested that if you give an iPhone to a person who is 65 years old or 60 years old, whatever, they will not use an iPhone, because in their younger days, that means from 20 to 40, that time span, they were habituated with the old, with the old instruments like radios and the old songs and all those things. So they still prefer those things. They still prefer to listen to those things. They still prefer radios. They still prefer the old phones, because in their younger days, they were habituated. They were used to those things. And then after a point of time, they cannot get rid of it. And that's how things are shown on the TV. Every day to us. And we think, oh, we are seeing that, we are hearing it, but nothing will happen to us. But slowly, it's a mind control trick that every day or every regular interval, when you see something, when you hear something, it is installed in your subconscious mind. I'm telling you this. Some songs that you have heard, if you hear a song for 2 days, the tune of the songs will not go out of your mind, because it is installed in your subconscious mind. You are made used to some patterns. You are made used to some programming that is done in your mind. That is not happening the first day. It happens when you continue to do that activity over a period of time. Over a period of time. And that is what Egypt did to Israel. That is what Egypt did to Israel over a period of time. And now, over a period of time, through mind control programming that demons build in their mind, now they are not able to, even though they are out of Egypt, but they are still thinking in the same way when they were there in Egypt. That is how mind control works. Okay, let me show you Matthew's chapter number 12. Let's go to Matthew's chapter number 12. Let's understand a bit of what I am saying from the scripture. Matthew's chapter number 12. And now what Jesus is saying here is mind control, is a programming system. He's talking about a programming system in the mind of a person. And verse number 43 to 45, Matthew's 12, verse number 43 to 45. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, so the man was acting up like that because there was an unclean spirit, there was a existence of a demonic spirit in him, but this demonic spirit got out of the man. Okay, he got out of the man. He goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. What is a dry place? Dry place is a place where a demonic spirit does not find convenient habitation. Okay? People of God, are you there? A dry place is a place where a demonic spirit does not find a convenient habitation. As he had, so the demonic spirits are like Egypt. They prefer to stay where they were staying. They don't prefer to change their habitation. They don't prefer, because they have created a very good stronghold, a house along with furnitures in the man, to live in the man. That is called a programming system. They have used the mind of the person for a long time. And since the demon had been speaking to the person and making the person love things and do things and get attached to things, now he tries to find another person who will cooperate with him in the same way. He does not find a person like that way, in that way, a dry place. So he does not find a convenient habitation like his past habitation. So he prefers to come back there. He prefers to come back to the old person. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Okay? Then he says, I will what? Return to my house. Why he says my house? What is our body? The Bible says our body is God's house, is the temple of God.
God's temple.
Hallelujah. Amen. So you have, how it will become a temple of God? When you lay your life, your body as a living sacrifice on the altar of God and tell God, I will not come in between. You want to use a knife, use it on me. You want to use a hammer, use it, Lord. You want to break me like a pot of clay, break me, Lord. I will not intervene. That was my prayer when I was 19 years old. That is what I started to pray. Lord, I know I have started with you, but whatever you want to insult me through people and make me what I insult me, whatever you want to bring in my life, you can do it, Lord. I am ready. Okay? And when God gets complete hold and God gets the league, God gets the permission from you, from your will, to construct you, you become God's house. Are we understanding? But Christians don't do that. Christians are still continuing in their selfish desires. I've never seen a Christian praying like that. When you don't pray like that, your house is not God's house. It's still the house of demons. He says, my house, because why? Because the demon constructed him. The demon made his mind. The demon constructed his, the way he will walk, the way he will think. That's why he says, my house. Hallelujah. Before we came to Christ, demons constructed our mindset. Traditions have built us up, that spirits of people have built us up. Speakings of people have constructed the way we should think. But when we come to Christ, the Bible says we need to bury our old life with Christ as Christ was buried. And then we are raised with the newness of life according to the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. That's why the Bible says in Galatians chapter number 2, verse 20, Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It is Christ who lives in me. And this life that I live now is by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So the old Saul is destroyed. So even if the demon comes back and says, I will go back to my house, he says, where is my house? I see a wonderful building that is built here. Now he cannot come inside because the property is taken over by another master. Can you shout hallelujah? Is your property taken over by Jesus? Is Jesus constructing you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then you cannot be controlled in your mind. You are not a victim. If Jesus is constructing you, if the house of God is your body, is your life, then the devil will come. He will not even want to stay with you because you have fire. Hallelujah. He will say, oh, no. I don't want to go into this man, because he sees that you have the mind of Christ. You have the character of Christ. You have the power of Christ. You have the tongues. You have the knowledge. You have the revelation. A demon cannot survive in such a person. Hallelujah. Amen. Can everyone here shout hallelujah, apart from the one who are already shouting, saying hallelujah. Amen. Okay, listen to me. Let me continue. So, verse 44, then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. So, when he comes back, The house is in the way he left the house. Swept good condition to again inhabit the house. To again inhabit the house. That is what happened with the people of Israel. They were delivered by the hand of God, by the servant of God Moses from Egypt. But the spirits of Egypt were like pursuing them, following them. And when the spirits of Egypt saw that the house that they left was not broken and a new house was not built, their property is in the same way they left. So they said, let us again occupy them. And they again occupied them. Do we understand that now? Mind control. Mind control works without the existence of demonic spirits. Yes. Mind control works without the existence. You were delivered. You got testimonies. Oh, the people of Israel had great testimonies than us. We saw the Red Sea parting. We saw the plagues in Egypt. Great testimonies. But what? They were mind controlled. They were mind controlled. So when the devil came back, demon came back to them, the house is put in order. That Jesus is talking about the mind control system. Hallelujah. You need to stop thinking in the way you were thinking. You need to be renewed by the word of the Lord. You need to stop behaving. You are new in Christ. Many Christians don't know this. They are they say, I am a 25-year-old Christian. I have been in Christ 30 years, 35 years, but they are still the old self. The old self is not yet crucified. And that's why they are still enslaved to the past habits. They are still enslaved to the past spirits. Nothing has changed spiritually. Carnally, maybe they got some money. They got some big property. But spiritually, nothing has changed with them. You cannot see the newness of the spirit life. You cannot see the newness of Christ in them. Why? Because they have not crucified their old self. Their old self. Only when you crucify your old self can you be done away with this mindset. And that can only happen when in humility you submit to God. Submit to his plans. Okay, so let's come back to the scripture. Then he says, I will return to my own, to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Consider Israel. Wasn't their last state worse than their first state? They became worse and worse and worse and worse. Why? Because they were under mind control. They were enslaved to the spirits of Egypt. They were enslaved. Hallelujah. But tonight, we want to pray that every strongholds in your mind will be broken in the name, will be pulled down in the name of Jesus Christ. Every stronghold, mind control with which you are enslaved have to be broken in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How to overcome this? It says in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. Verse number 3 onwards. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to pull down strongholds. Stronghold is a mind control system. Stronghold is a house built by the devil. And he has put the house well in place. Strongholds. How? Pulling down strongholds how? By casting down arguments and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Are you able to cast down the arguments and high things in your life, in your mind, which exalt itself against the knowledge of God? Against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. One of the reasons why Apostle Paul's ministry was so successful, because he was a very, very wicked man in his past before he came to Christ. He killed Christians. He breathed threats and murders on Christians. And he witnessed the death of Stephen, who was martyred. and all sorts of things he did. He gloried in his knowledge about as a Pharisee and all those things. But Apostle Paul says, I count all those achievements, I count all those things as garbage in order to gain Christ. In order to gain Christ. Are you ready to count all things as garbage? Whoever you are, before coming to Christ, you were a politician, you were a rich man, but after coming to Christ, it may be you lost your influence as a politician, you lost your influence as that money-making man, and now you are saying, I hate that, I don't want it. I'm ready to live this life that Christ has given me, this new life, even though things are not available from the past. I am not subject to mind control. The devil cannot take over my mind by giving me pleasure, by giving me convenience. It says Moses rejected the pleasure of Egypt and he chose to be among his people, the people of Israel. Are you ready to reject the pleasures that the devil is trying to give you? One of the things when he says you see that you are not a subject of force and threats, you are not overtaken by manipulation, he will start to give you offers. He will start to give you a sense of security. That is mind control, beloved. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? And we see that pattern of enslavement in the scripture. Okay, let me not go to the scripture, but let me bring to your notice. Remember Nebuchadnezzar trying to, throwing Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the furnace of fire? Okay, there was force, there was manipulation, there was mind control, and there was fear executed there. Okay, force was, if you don't obey my orders, you will be thrown into the furnace of fire. Manipulation was, if you listen to me, mind control was, if you listen to me, I will let you go. So I give you one more chance to let you go. That was mind control, that you will have life. You will have a better life. If Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego could have done that. Oh, you know what? If you obey the orders of the king, you know what? We will get promotion. But they did not succumb to mind control. They did not submit to the fear that he was installing in them. We will come on fear. So that is how a person uses enslavement to put you back in bondage. Yes, that is how the devil uses enslavement, force, manipulation, mind control, and the fourth one is fear. We'll come to fear. Remember Sennacherib, how he attacked the children of Judah? First, he forced Hezekiah. So Hezekiah was afraid and he gave the gold and all those things. Then he manipulated the people of Judah. And he said, don't listen to Hezekiah, listen to me. Third, he executed mind control. He said, if you listen to me, I will give you figs, honey, and I will give you a land as like your land. That was mind control. And fourth, he said, if you don't do all those things, you know what? You will be destroyed along with your king. We will destroy you completely. We will kill you completely. That is how spirits, that is how taskmasters execute enslavement, by forced and manipulated mind control executed by fear. But tonight I pray that no one will be a slave here in the name of Jesus, that everyone will be free in Christ to freely obey the Lord and worship the Lord and be a slave of righteousness and not a slave of sin in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding now? That was mind control. Let me quickly, because I don't want to extend this, I want to bring a new word on Sunday night, a fresh manna from the Lord. So I want to finish this. The fourth one is fear. The fourth one is fear. Let me come back to the definition of enslavement. Enslavement is forced and manipulated mind control executed by fear. By fear. What is fear? Fear is a product of force, manipulation, and mind control. Fear is what? A product of force, manipulation, and mind control. Oh, if I don't do that, I will be beaten up, I will be tormented, I will be persecuted. That is being afraid of force. Oh, if I don't do this, if I don't do this, I think I will not get the position what I wanted. That is the product of manipulation. Oh, if I don't do this, I will not get the things that I wanted for me, that is convenient for me, the security I will have. That is a product of mind control. When you submit to force, manipulation and mind control, you become fearful. You are having fear because it's the product. When you submit to force, manipulation, listen to the manipulation of the enemy, obey it. When you submit to his mind control, you are a fearful person. Fear is installed in you. Okay, the next thing I want to say about fear is, fear comes when you don't have faith in God's word and don't stay in the presence of God, in the atmosphere of the assurance of his promises. Fear comes in when you don't stay in the presence of God, in the atmosphere of the assurance of his promises. The Christians I have seen that are the most fearful are the Christians who never spend time in the secret place. Who never spend time in the secret place. When you are out of the presence of God, tell me when did the people of Israel spend time with God? It was only Moses spending time with God, seeking the Lord, taking efforts to know the Lord. People of Israel never took any efforts. If you are too busy in your work, if you are too busy in the things of the world, you will be having a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear. What kind of fear? No, not the fear. Fear to, oh, I don't want to go with my friends who are drinking alcohol. Not the godly fear, but the ungodly fear. The fear that will stop you to perform the services towards God. The fear that will stop you to do something for God. Hallelujah. Amen. The fear that will stop you to walk in God's ways. Oh, if I do this, if I do that, no. I cannot do it because this will happen. Maybe I have to do this and do that. That kind of fear. The fear is, if I leave Egypt, I will not get elsewhere what I used to get in Egypt. Fear. You know, I don't want to leave this current job because the salary that I am getting here and the position that I have here currently, there is no such a kind of salary and the position. So though they are making me work for 13 hours, 14 hours, though they are making me work on weekends, I will continue to work here. Why? Because you are afraid that you don't want to lose the job. Fear. Why you are having fear? Because you were submitted. You submitted to their force, to their manipulation, and to their mind control. They were successful in making you believe that you will not get such a kind of salary elsewhere. But only if you have gone to God, God would have told you that those people who are enslaving you and taking you away from my presence, not allowing you to attend church, not allowing you to attend meetings or prayer meetings, those people, get out of that job, resign by faith, and I will give you a better job. Only if you have known that God could have given you better things than Egypt, and you would have spent time in the presence of God to receive his word, you would have overcome fear. Hallelujah. People are so afraid of losing their job. People are so afraid that if I don't do this, I will lose them. Some relationships are based on fear. Some marriages are based on fear. Don't fear your husband above God. Don't fear your wife above God. Don't fear your children above God. Yes. I have seen so many women. Wives have unbelieving husband. Oh, no. If I don't do that, if I don't listen to my husband, if I don't go with him to that function and don't go with him to that idolatry and all those things, he will be sad with me. He will be angry at me. So I have to go. You are so afraid of your husband that you are obedient to your husband. Break out from the fear and obey God and learn to say no. To men, learn to say no to them. You will be only able to say no to them when you overcome force, their manipulation, and their mind control. Hallelujah. Are we understanding
Amen.
that? So you have, if I leave Egypt, I will not get elsewhere what I used to get in Egypt. That is fear.
Jesus.
That is nowhere. You start to believe that Egypt, there is no country like Egypt. It's like that. I will not get anywhere if I leave Egypt. So I have to stay connected. I have to stay attached to Egypt. I have to depend on Egypt, on the rod of Egypt. That is fear. What I used to get in Egypt. Okay, we heard that. Fear about losing something that you think you will not find it anywhere else. Fear about losing something that you think that you will not find anything anywhere else. When you get too attached and too used to things, when people start to become lord over your life, when things and objects start to lord over your life, you get, when I quit my job, I was paid very highly. I had a very good salary, I'm telling you. As per Indian standards, I had a very good salary. And God told me to leave the job and to serve him. And I did not thought for a second, if I leave the job, that kind of income, who will give me? I did not leave because I knew God's plan is better. God's wages are better. God's rewards are better than the rewards of the world. So I left.
Amen.
I overcame. If I was fearful and I thought, oh my God, the perks I'm getting, the salary I'm getting, I will not get it. And especially God's servant, no salary, only depending on God, only depending when he will provide for me. Just that, how can I do it? But I'm telling you, I want to testify the lifestyle that I used to live when I used to earn so much is not. This lifestyle that I'm living while serving God is better than that lifestyle, I'm telling you. So it's not about what we are receiving. It's not about the amount of money. It's about the pathway that we chose. It's about the way that we choose. It's about the covering that we choose. It's about the master that we choose. That I am not a slave of the job. I am not a slave of earning money. I am a slave to God. I chose the right master. Because I did not have fear. I chose the right master. Because I did not have fear. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Let's go there. Quickly. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Verse number one. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulder. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spear had weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day, and give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were all fearful. People of God, why are you fearful tonight? Why are you afraid? Why don't you have faith? You know why? Because you are listening to the words of the enemy, and you are letting the words of the enemy force you, manipulate you, and mind control you. That is what Israel did. They submitted to the force that Goliath brought. Secondly, they submitted to the manipulation. What manipulation? I am bigger than your God. And thirdly, they submitted to the mind control that he was placing on them. And because they submitted to it, they were greatly afraid. But there was a young man who did not come from the training of Saul's army, but who came from the training of God's army, because he was in the secret place. He was in the wilderness. And when he came out from that place, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the army of the Lord?" He was not afraid of their force. He did not submit it to the force, to the manipulation, and to the mind control. And that's why he was bold to say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? I can fight him and I can destroy him." Hallelujah. And the Lord is looking for those Davids who will overcome fear. If you want to be used by God, if you want to move ahead in the pathways of God and move towards the destiny that God has for you, you shall not be afraid. Do you know how many times in the Bible, not only in the New Testament where Jesus says, "Do not be afraid," but also in the Old Testament, the Bible says, "Do not be afraid of whom? Of their gods." Do not be afraid. Do not be fearful. Hallelujah. I think I need to end here. People are not responding. Hallelujah. Say amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do not be fearful, because David was not afraid of Goliath, because he knew the master that he was serving was more powerful than any other demonic taskmaster on earth. The master that you serve. And I want to end on the note that demonic enslavement and bondage is enforced by masters. And tonight you have to choose which master you are going to serve. But you cannot serve two masters. You have to choose one. Matthew chapter number 6, 24. You cannot serve God and mammon. You will be loyal to one and not loyal to the another. And let's go to end that in Romans chapter number 8, verse 15. There are two verses we will read from Romans, and then we will pray. Hallelujah. If tonight you are a slave to the things of the world, you are a slave to sin, God wants to deliver you in the name of Jesus Christ. God wants to deliver you. Reboko Rabansa Keti Yandra. Holy Lord, hallelujah. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 15. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage," that is enslavement. "You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." Everyone here, say that word. Declare it by faith. "I did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." Say that out. "I did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But I received the spirit of adoption, by which I cry out, Abba, Father." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We have received the spirit of adoption. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to any human taskmaster or to the devil, because we have been adopted as children of the Most High God, and He is our Father. We have received the Holy Spirit, with which we cry out, Abba, Father. You know, if I have children, you have children, will you allow your children to be slaves to someone? No, never. That is why when we received God, when we received His Spirit and we became His children, the children of the king cannot be servants to the house of another master. The children of a king Hallelujah. We are the children of the Most High King. We are the children of the Lord of Lords. You cannot be a slave to men. You cannot be a slave to your job. You cannot be a slave to any man who pretends that he is a pastor. You cannot be a slave to any organization. You cannot be a slave to sin. You cannot be a slave to fear, to the devil, because you are a child of God. You are the heir of the everlasting kingdom. Do you understand that? You are the saint that will inherit the inheritance of God. Hallelujah. So we do not depend on the world or the people of the world or the economy of the world. So we break free from every fear that controls us. We break free from every force, mind control and manipulation in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Another verse, Romans chapter number 6 verse 16. Romans chapter number 6 verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? If you are obeying voices today, maybe it is the voice of familiar spirits that led your father, your mother, your ancestors. If you are obeying the voice of a human being that is against the word of God, if you are obeying the voice of any family member about the word of God, you are slave to them. If you are obeying the voice of your organization, of your boss who is taking you away into money, into overtime, not serving God, you have to say, I reject the ownership of such masters. I reject the ownership of such masters. I'm not saying leave your job, but I will not obey them at the cost of not serving God. Oh, hallelujah. I will not place them the first. God's word is the authority of my life. Hallelujah. It says, whomever you obey, you are a slave. You are a slave, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obey from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. The word of God, the doctrine of the word, when we receive it, when we obey it, when we submit to the word, we will be delivered of every enslavement. Hallelujah. I prophesy on some of your life tonight. It's time for move out of Egypt in Jesus' name. It's time to move out of Egypt in Jesus' name. It's time to move out of slavery in Jesus' name. It's time for a transition in your life. It's time for you to get out of that job in Jesus' name. It's time for you to get out of that group of people in Jesus' name. It's time to transition. God is shifting your season, even as the chains will be broken. He's not just breaking your chains for you to just sit on your couch. He's breaking your chains because he wants you to travel. He wants you to travel. He wants you to journey. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, Elijah, how long you will stay depressed? Eat this because the journey is great. Get out of this place. This place is not for you. Go to the mountain. Go to the mountain of Horeb. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is telling some people, the place you are sitting and weeping and being depressed, that place is not for you. Get up. How long will you weep? Get up. How long will you be depressed? Get up. How long will you be dependent on your children? Will be dependent on your husband? Get up from there, for the journey is too great for you. And the Lord says, I will provide for you. The Lord says, I will feed you. The Lord says, I will take care of you. Get up from there. Come out of Egypt. The Lord is saying to some people, come out of Babylon. Oh, Rabaka Zebendia, how long will you be controlled by the so-called pastor? How long will you be controlled? Hey, thinking that his voice is from God. Listen to God tonight. And the Lord is saying, get out of Babylon. Get out of those fake churches. Get out in the name of Jesus. Come on, people of God, yeah. Don't be dry. Remove your mute and pray in tongues. Remove your mute. And Rabala, the chains are breaking. The chains of fear are breaking. The chains of mind control are breaking. The stronghold of mind control is breaking. Hallelujah. It will be pulled down. Mesha batoko yamandere banzi yantra. Mam prantara bala halsi yantra laba. Lahal. The God is saying to some people, don't be stagnant in your current job thinking that is the best salary. God will give you 5 times more than the salary that you receive. When you, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is going to increase your salary in the name of Jesus Christ. Get out and you will see, hallelujah, how the Heavenly Father gives you Johaba Rabata Karabando. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Rabba Sabata Karaba. Praka Barababoya. Prolo Sabanto Yorobon Seta Yabanda. Man Shobo Tokore Bendi Antralaba. Rabalaha. At the start of the meeting, when we were worshipping, Lord, you showed me that chains will break, and I thank you that it is breaking now, Lord. From the hands, Lord, from the legs, Lord. Yokes be broken, Lord, from the shoulders, Lord. Yokes be broken. Deliver your people from the spirit of bondage, because they have not received the spirit of bondage, but they have received the spirit of adoption to cry out, Abba Father, to cry out, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. We are not slaves to the world. It says in the book of Isaiah, that foreigners shall take care of your property. Foreigners shall tend your flock, but you shall be a priest in the house of God. You shall be called the city of Zion, and others shall serve you. The Gentiles shall bring their wealth. The Gentiles shall serve you. We receive that scripture, Father. We don't want to be a slave of the world, but we want to make the world slave, Lord, your slave, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, work towards your kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father. Oh, Rabako, Parebebe, the Rabiki, Tiamambralabando. Oh, we shall be called the priest of the house of the Lord. We shall be called Zion, the holy city. Oh, of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your house is not enslaved to the system of the world. Your church is not enslaved, oh Father. Oh, Lord. Your church is not entitled, oh Lord, to obey anything of the world. Lord, we are entitled and we are called to obey you and only your voice, oh Father, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for the deliverance, oh Lord, in the lives of your people. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Each person who are here, let them realize that they are mighty in God, oh Father. Lord, they are mighty when they walk in your calling, Lord. Hallelujah. That they are called not for a nominal average job on this earth, but they are called to carry out mighty exploits. Let them each realize that they are warriors, Lord. Hallelujah. Watchmen, Lord. Priests, Lord, in your kingdom, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we want to thank you for this time, Lord. We want to give you the praise, honor, and glory. And I cover all your wonderful people, their families, even those who are not able to make it. Cover all of them with the blood of Jesus. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Shout amen, people of God.
Peace. Hallelujah.